Welcome to the podcast after the podcast. This is Short Rest.
Welcome to Short Rest, everybody.
Wow. Feeling restful. Everyone's feeling A plus 100% today, right?
Everything's awesome. I got brutally sick after the Radio City show, so right. We're back, and the episode barely came out. Shout out to Emily Axford for doing a huge lift
I don't need credit.
I'm giving you credit.
Look at those fucking calves. Look at the quads.
Yeah.
Fucking Atlas over here, keeping the podcast afloat in the ether.
I was like brutally sick for like a full week. And when I woke up Monday and was still sick, I was so fucking pissed off. And I was like, the episode's delayed. It's delayed. There's literally nothing I can do. I fucking can't look at a screen. I'm fucking so sick. I'm just lying in bed fucking shivering. And then like edited the first pass. It was super fucking helpful.
It was a really dramatic sickness.
It took your computer while you were sleeping.
It was very,
I actually did. I put on a mask and I went into your office to like retrieve the files. It was very in the vein of Gangs of Neoga later on.
Right, yeah. You were doing a heist.
But I did, I have still gotten whatever you had.
Yes. So hopefully you won't get it as bad as I did.
Murph, you really are like a crucible for this stuff. I feel like this is the second time you've gotten super sick.
I know.
I think you need
pretty
to.
Pretty fucking recently.
I think you need to, I say this as I look at four empty cans of energy drinks. I think you need to reconsider.
Let me.
That's medicine. Your, Emily, that's medicine.
Allow me to make a fucking case for energy drinks. Because part of the reason I was so sick is I had a brutal fucking headache. So it made it so I couldn't even work. I couldn't read. I couldn't play video games. The only thing, I literally, on top of being sick, one of the worst things was just insane boredom because I could do nothing but lie there because I just couldn't fucking like look at stuff. I could like vaguely, what, like, thank God for playoff basketball, because that's all I could do was like half kind of watch the TV. But anyway,
we also watched the Aristocats,
and then we watched the Aristocats.
Hey,
because I wanted.
Are you sure that's not what got you sick?
A cute freaking cat movie.
But, that is a cute freaking cat movie.
It's a cute freaking cat movie,
right?
But
vaguely
anyway,
racist at parts. But we don't need to talk.
Certainly
about
Certainly is. Yeah. I didn't drink caffeine for a bunch of days, and I had a brutal fucking headache. And then one day I was like, "Fuck it," and I just drank an energy drink. Headache went away. So not only was I sick, I was dealing with fucking caffeine withdrawal. So I was trying to recover by being like, quote unquote, good. And I cannot express how much drinking coffee again helped.
No, certainly. Yeah. And you need to like kickstart your body into like recovering. You got to send those little caffeine guys in there to help whip things into shape. I know how the body works.
Well, I'm not against caffeine. I'm more like, I've noticed you get really, really sick when we travel recently. And I also know that you have an energy drink habit. And I'm like, what's the difference between me and Murph that he gets so wrecked and I don't? And I was like, oh, it's these tall boys of energy drinks.
Oh, well, Murph does love the Celsius COVID that they came out with.
I don't think that's why I'm getting brutally sick. I don't know why I get so sick.
They just put a little bit of COVID in there just to like perk you up just a bit, just to make your skin flush and get hot.
Yeah. It helps the caffeine permeate your lungs, which is good.
Oh, interesting.
I think I had to become a flu shot guy. I think I got to be a flu shot guy now. Everyone should be a flu shot guy.
Dude,
I did not get, until like this year, where I got sick, like brutally sick, like shivering in bed twice in the past like 4 months, that hadn't happened in years.
Yeah,
like I can't, these are sicknesses that I have not had since I was like 10 years
old. I think this was a brutal year. That doesn't usually happen to me, and it happened to me once, but that's still a lot for me because I don't usually get sick, and I was shivering in bed also.
Well, to be fair, we also like recorded all of Gangs of Neoga later on in like a big batch. And then we went to Sydney, Australia, and then New York for two massive shows. There's been a lot going on. So I feel like, you know,
it literally hasn't stopped. And then my days off were just fucking laying in bed, twitching.
I think sometimes that you get sick more frequently one year because your body's like building up its immune library.
It's true. You think Murph is like restocking?
I think this is like a reset year for his immune system. And maybe yours too, Dave.
I'm building up for something good, I guess. For fuck's sake.
Look out, 2027.
Picture Murph's white blood cells doing a press conference, being like, it was just a rebuilding year, okay?
Yeah.
I think that could be how it works.
We're going to let go some of our immune system, but we are hoping to get some new talent in here.
It is legitimately infuriating because I like eat vegetables now and like don't drink fucking booze all the time. And I'm so much more sick all the time.
Yeah.
Just kids, do whatever the fuck you want. Just everybody do whatever the fuck you want.
Do get a flu shot.
But anyway, the episode.
The episode.
Got to revisit it as I was getting down to the freaking wire this week. Was, you know, hoping to be ahead, but then was so fucking brutally sick. So, you know, now we're just laying down the planks in front of us like we used to.
A new Murph is coming. Shiny and chrome. A brand new Murph with new immune systems.
I'm out of my fucking cocoon.
I really liked this this sort of chase. It was really fun. I remember in the room feeling like, yeah.
I'm a sucker for a chase. I always have been, especially on stolen vehicles. My God, yeah. Give me a stolen vehicle chase.
A motorcycle chase is super fun. The bad guys were rolling really good because there was a lot of chances. You guys had stuff with like topple, and I just ruled it. So like if you get toppled while you're on a motorcycle, you just fall
off.
But
they did really well. Yeah, they kept rolling. Only had like plus three. So they just were rolling really well.
Everybody was rolling hot, and I was rolling in front of the table.
You were. Yeah.
It was a really good lesson with chases because I feel like sometimes when you run a chase, you're like, oh, am I throwing too much at the players? Is there too much going on? But like you managed that beautifully. And like it was fucking brutal. It was a gauntlet. Like there was so much going on, but there was like a new thing every round. Yeah. I felt scared.
I think
I was really worried.
It was fun that the way you did it, that was like sometimes things would fall back, right? Like we would outrun things. So they would be a threat for one round only.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I was doing sort of a lair action thing. I was doing it on initiative 20 and 10, something would happen. So like there was one part where like snipers just took a shot at you and then you guys would be out of range with them. There was like a car was chasing you, but wasn't as fast. So a guy just like a grenadier just like shot a grenade out while you guys were running. And then there was like stupid jokes, like a guy just got out of the shower because we were differentiating between the fresh nights and the not fresh nights.
The sopping wet ones who we kept. It was also just like a funny accidental timing that we were like, were you just jerking off? And then his move was like empowering his arm or something.
Yeah. So just had like one jacked arm.
It has been fun having so many like faceless goons just to be like, all right, we got to figure out your deal.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you have to imagine they're all just a little bit of freaks.
But I also like too that they like were all just kind of a little bit annoyed to be called away from the party.
Yeah.
Well, it would be tough if you thought you were just going to watch a gala and then you have to go on a motorcycle chase, which I guess would be kind of rad. But like falling off a motorcycle would be so scary.
Yeah.
It really would be terrible.
While getting like hit with a sword. That would suck so bad.
Murph, can you let me behind the screen just a little bit with this one?
Because
I know that like you knew that we were going to do a chase. I think like when you were planning this, because you did this kind of, we recorded this all together and you had like time to prep day to day, but like you kind of like had everything built for us. Did you just know that we would somehow be able to procure a vehicle and like would just like have this chase happen, or like what was your process?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that you guys were always gonna need to get away fast enough that you were in some kind of vehicle.
Yeah,
otherwise
I mean,
just been swarmed.
I think you set us up pretty elegantly by being like, oh, you see three motorcycles, it's the wolf pack.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like we also like knew whose vehicles they were.
That was also that was perfect. Like three episodes ago. So like when did you get the key fobs? I think episode 2. Beginning of episode 3. So like I had days to prep, so I knew you guys had the motorcycles.
Nice. You jumped out of a window into waiting motorcycles too.
Badass.
Yeah, that was a pretty Slug had like a DC 22, I think, to like remove the iron from the windows.
Oh my God. Oh, when you were like, let's actually like, we'll do a D6 plus 18. And then it was so high.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I got it because I'm a barbarian. So you can just rage.
Yeah.
She just got it. No problem.
So she just got it. No problem.
It's awesome.
Personal little rose for like the randomized DC like that. I always like when you just like add a little dice roll into it. Just like just a little spice on top of a DC is always really fun because like it could go in your favor, but it could really fuck you over.
Yeah.
To me, it makes sense because it's like not all of those things would be built equally. You know what I mean? You'd be like one panel's like harder to move than the other ones or whatever. So there would be, you know, there'd be a range to it, but
if you can find like a weak point.
So you guys get out onto the motorcycles And yeah, this was a super fun one. And we had our first time where somebody went down. Aux got knocked out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I almost did, too.
Yeah, you were pretty low.
If I hadn't changed my rage style to be giving me hit dice,
yeah,
I would have been down.
Yeah. I was definitely afraid to be the one that went down during the chase because the stakes are so much. It's like not even just your death. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, am I going to get everybody caught? This is also on the heels of me trying to rob a guard in front of the
entrance. Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, man, what a weak showing this episode is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Aux is having a rough day.
Yeah. He didn't have a good gallop.
It makes sense because we had just seen Spectre driving the motorcycles. But in the moment, I was kind of like, do you just like auto fall off? Mm-hmm. But I thought if we did that, it would be a little bit of a derailing thing where it would be like, I think you guys would all stop. It would cease to be a chase. And maybe we would just have like a pretty anticlimactic total party kill where I'm just like, well, just everyone's gonna shoot at you guys, and so you just get, you know, shot down.
Everyone that just got out of the shower kills you.
Yeah, I think you guys need to be, if I'm gonna kill you guys during a chase, I think mm-hmm. that the character needs to go down pretty fast, which is why I had characters continue to shoot at Aux while he was down, because I was like, rather than having him like fall down and like cease the thing, it's like he'll just get targeted like he's anyone else
on
makes
the battlefield.
Sense.
So
yeah.
And it made sense too, because I have Rover.
Yeah.
So he's like mm-hmm. kind of helping me stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have Rover. Rover could keep you in place. And then like I said, when we say like zero, like mechanically at zero, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that like you're like totally like, I don't know, like snoring completely out of it. It's like you're just out of combat and you're like laying
taking a knee.
Injured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I feel like it's totally fair when you're on like a motorcycle chase to be like, yeah, you have as many chances as you have motorcycles to get away from here. Like everyone can kind of like jump onto one motorcycle to a degree.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know that like one of your big inspirations for this was like the escape from Midgar in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
always.
Yeah.
It just felt so good to get to live that.
Yeah.
I will say, yeah, better than the Final Fantasy VII remake. You did it. This is like an improvement in every way.
Wow.
Huge, Murph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as good as the original, though.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original.
Which is what you're going for.
Sits right in the middle, I would say. If you had put Kate Sith in there, maybe we could talk.
Yeah. You know, I haven't played, I played a little bit of, is Rebirth the second one?
I think so.
There were so many side quests that I had a hard time like engaging with the actual game.
I liked it more for all the side quests.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason, like when someone's just like play a video game with a really streamlined narrative, I get really itchy. Mm-hmm. But when someone's just like, there's a bulletin board and you can do whatever you want, I'm like, okay.
But this is what I liked about Remake, though, is because like each area had like four side quests. And it was just like so manageable. You would go to a place and there would just be like four things to do and then the main story. And it really just felt like I could handle it on top of everything else in my life. But like does seem like Rebirth went full open world.
Yeah.
So it's just like you could just fly to the casino if you want and spend like 14 hours there. And there's like lots of stuff to unlock there too. And it's just, it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah, that was kind of my experience.
I can see that.
I think I had a hard time kind of, well, I mean, obviously you know what like the main story is, but I'm kind of like, is this the good stuff? As I like go to talk to somebody, I was like, is this just a fucking fetch quest or something? Like you have to tell me if this is worth my time.
They should kind of like, it should be color coded as you walk, like as you go in. Is this main
like
story?
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, sometimes. Oh,
all right, good.
Yeah.
So I didn't invent a new video game thing?
I mean, on subject of-
Jake invented video games.
Is that crazy?
On the subject of like video games that inspired this, I had the same problem with Cyberpunk, which was like after you do this heist in this like hotel and everything, the game like really opens up in a way where like as you're driving, you're just getting like 30 phone calls from different people, and I'm like, can't fucking like
I play this game once a week, I don't want a lot of phone calls because it's that's
can you go on do not disturb?
You're getting a lot of donation requests from Democratic politicians.
Oh my god. Act Blue is leaving me a voicemail.
So I kind of had to hop off. Whereas,
hey V, things are really on the line here.
Yeah. That is what it's like. But then I started playing Resident Evil Requiem, and that you're just stuck in places until you get out of them. It's fucking great. So then you guys do like a big jump through like a blockade, essentially.
I open up my ass.
You open up your ass.
Oh my God, I loved like just getting spit out into like deep into enemy territory.
Yeah.
So it's like you're safe, but you're not out of the woods. You're like, you got away, but... You know, you don't like.
Yeah, you're away from the corporation, but not like the next gang's territory.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. So then you guys get to a blockade that is the Hammer and Circuits crew. And I had peek behind the screen. I had like 7 or 8 dudes in that barricade slash in the towers and things like that. So that would have been a really tough fight. And I think you guys maybe just straight up didn't have the HP to deal with it.
What would you have done? Would you have had them capture us, or would you have TPK'd us and then been like, all right, let's roll new characters?
I mean, I think they would have just fought you and knocked you out. And yeah, maybe they would have captured you.
Yeah.
Or I guess, I mean, they probably wouldn't have like set to knock you out. It probably would just been like if you had, I don't know that they would have been like standing over shooting you in the head while you're unconscious.
Right.
But they would have let you die from like, you know, getting knocked out or whatever. And then probably brought you to Young Blunder, I guess.
Would you have let Big Mini assemble a crew to rescue us? And we got to play as
Big Mini. Actually have a rule that I'm going to do, which is that if and when any of you guys die, you have to create a new character that's from that zone.
Whoa.
So like the way Uncle Drill is from Hammer and Circuits, you guys would be like a Hammer and Circuits guy who's like disillusioned with... So you would just join... as one of like the gang members from that crew.
That's cool.
Damn, I want to die now.
Well,
I still don't want to die.
I think I don't want to.
Lots of opportunities too.
That actually made me feel more scared than excited because it seems like death is like 2 on the table. Oh shit.
Yeah.
There's a plan in place.
Yeah.
I mean, just after that chase, it definitely feels like it's on the table. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had these Hammer and Circuits guys there, and I was planning on you guys having to deal with them like one way or the other. But then Adam had like a GPS thing, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah. What was that?
I have the navigator feat, I think is what it is.
Oh, cool.
It's one of those feats. I think I got it from my background, but it's one of those things where like you never expect it to come up.
Yeah.
But then it was just like, oh, we're literally in a city, in a section of the city we don't know much about. Like, this seems like it would perfectly fit here.
No, for like a campaign where the prompt is you're running through a city, it is really smart.
Right. Yeah. You're half TomTom. You're a Garmin.
My thought process was basically that there was like this sort of main roadway that goes into zone 5, but that there's other tunnels and things like that that typically, you know, 99 times out of 100, you go into them and you just get lost and die. But you know, with a navigator feat, and I think you rolled like a 22.
Cause it's true. We have been here before, like a few times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speed run it because I actually do want to spend time in all the zones, but it does make me curious to see all the new zones.
Yeah.
But I also like kind of want to explore Hammer and Circuits for longer.
Sure.
I know. Well, yeah. Now
trouble,
that we've met Uncle Drilly.
Yeah. I definitely have a rose for Uncle Drilly.
I definitely like, you can hear his voice change as you call him Uncle Drill.
Yeah, that felt like a moment where we like really invented a backstory.
Right, because he was just old Drill. And so I think my thought process of him was just like, you know,
someone
sort
who,
of friendly old guy that maybe you knew a little bit. And then it was just like, nope, he's your uncle.
Nick just like instantly was picturing like Uncle Junior from Sopranos, but with a gun arm.
Oh, yeah. He is a little bit like Uncle Junior, I guess, because he's like stuck and just kind of being like watched by goons.
Yeah. That is kind of the Uncle Junior plot line, especially like I think you described his house being like full of TVs and old magazines.
Yeah.
So like a bit of a shut-in vibe, but no, yeah. It's fun like getting to just like describe our backstory with the other gangs a little bit too, because you had that scene where we like looked at like the photo of like all the gangs meeting up at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And then I think we talked about like playing paintball with them at some point.
Sure.
Yeah.
As we do.
That was the thing you added as you walked up to old Drill's house.
I really liked that. Like, it was almost like an eerie moment where we walked in and kind of like told Uncle Drill's guards like the vibe of like what's going on.
Yeah.
And then we like clocked them, look at each other and being like, oh, Oh, shit.
Uh-oh, you're in on it. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like you're not even walking into a unified faction. You're totally walking into a divided faction.
Yeah. It's like, I guess this is almost like a side quest. Like, I feel like, oh, man, I want to rescue old Drill from whatever he's caught up
we
in.
We got to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got to rescue Uncle Drilly.
Yeah. He's in a lot of trouble. Yeah, that's funny. No. You guys were just asking. I think Slug was like, do you feel safe with the mirror? He's like, no.
Well, I wanted to just like make sure I wasn't like projecting sort of damsel experience onto him if he wasn't having that.
Right.
Right.
Like, it's cool if you're a bad guy too, Uncle Trilly.
Right. We'll push you out a window, I guess.
He's basically being like locked up for political purposes. Young Blunder kills him, that'll be very unpopular, but he doesn't want him to have any power or gather his guys or anything like that.
No, I saw that. I just felt like I needed his consent to save him. If that makes sense.
His buy-in.
It is. I mean, you did an amazing job of like very quickly setting up what's going on here and like how much of a razor's edge this gang is on, just as far as like the old guard and the new guard. Yeah. And now we're dancing right in the middle. And I think we're going to do a great job of solving everything.
I think I'm like super fucked up too.
Yeah, you guys are super fucked up. You guys will have time to get a long rest in. You guys will
Okay.
And then you'll finally be able to apply some of your augments.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's fun.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
That'll be really cool.
So we'll have to chat before next recording what you guys want to equip.
That's awesome. Yeah. Just picture us like getting into bed, like fiddling with our augments, just making a huge mess.
I do like that aspect. I don't think I saw that coming when you were like, and you can take these augments to use yourself later. Like, it makes it very video game feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, this is such a cool safe house environment, because I don't feel safe at all, but it'd be like, it's nice that we have a place to take a long rest, but like, it seems like as soon as we do, like, more bad shit is gonna happen. So
it feels like
with one eye open
taking a nap in like a cabin surrounded by wolves.
Totally
It's like, yeah, you can. None of the wolves is gonna like open the door with their paw. You know, you're technically safe.
How many wolves being outside? I guess I would feel pretty safe until it became like an absolutely untenable amount of wolves.
I think I'd have a hard time sleeping because they'd probably be yapping.
Sure.
They'd be howling for sure.
At a certain number, I start to just be worried about, can I ever leave?
Yeah. I mean, for sure.
I guess like there's a certain number where I feel safe, where I'm like, these are keeping me safe from like a bear or something like that. Like there's this wolf pack is just like
interesting.
I think
one wolf and I'm feeling unsafe.
Imagine it's a cabin with an attached garage. So you can go directly into the garage and get in the car and go home. How many wolves outside, like before you head home, before you're like, this is
still,
and I'm saying
one.
I'm saying
one.
I'm a nerve
to scare me.
I'm not saying I'm not scared of wolves, because of course I'm scared of wolves. Sure. I'm saying though, if I'm in like a locked down house, I'm able to sleep if there's a wolf pack just like outside the house for no reason. I think I'm not like thinking that they're gonna get in or anything, but once you get to like 30 or 40 wolves,
I think howling might be nice. I could listen to like a pack of wolves howling somewhere and be like, oh wow, I'm really out in nature.
No, but right out your window.
But what is the amount?
If I hear a scratch at the door or like feet on a porch, I think
jiggling
I freak out.
Yeah, you're right. Like little wolf talons, but like you could tell it's just like just the back ones.
Because they know I'm in there and they're trying to get me.
Yeah. Testing the window with their paws. Yeah.
Damn, how long would it take for a wolf to figure out how to open your door?
Forever.
But what if you had one of those doors that like it's not a like twist, a handle, it's like a handle. Like,
What if it's a Nest like passcode and they somehow get access to it and they beep it with their nose?
Yeah,
because I think that like they could probably boop it with their nose.
Well, at that point they're already hyper intelligent. We're fucking to come for our job.
That's why it took 30 wolves for them to crack it. That's what they were doing. They got their best minds in on it.
They could also have like one of them just be like, I'm going in, guys, and just start diving at the window to break it.
Right. I think that's more likely, but they could also get a fob. Like you could have a key fob.
And they just like chew the fob and it opens it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't think of that. If they like mess with your electronics.
Yeah. If a wolf has a fob, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
But to answer your question, it's got to be, I think like.
Wait, hold on. Emily had another scenario.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing. We should move on.
No, you got to say it now.
I was going to say, what if you looked out of your window in the middle of the night, and in the moonlight, right next to your window, just one wolf eye winked at you.
I can't believe you almost didn't say that.
Because one it's nothing, wolf- Jake. What I just said is nothing. It's so a much. Child's imagination.
I guess if one wolf that
is,
winked at
what
me,
I just oh, said yeah. is like ripped from my niece or nephew's mouth.
I love hypotheticals. There's nothing better to me.
Yeah.
If I opened my eyes and a wolf was looking and winked at me, I think I would be happy.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
think I it would just seem friendly.
That'd be awesome. Have you guys seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No, actually, I
did. I did see it, but it was a part, part of a triple feature, and it was the third one, and I wasn't there for it.
You weren't there? Yeah.
I just didn't.
Wait, why did you do it if you...
A triple feature?
I used to do double features where you would sneak into the second movie. Sure. And then one day I pushed it by sneaking into a third movie.
That's too many.
Oh, so this was unsanctioned by the I thought it was an actual triple feature.
Sorry to like the theater in New York City where I did it. Okay. No. It was like I would always like go for a double feature and sneak into the second one. But then one day I just tried to push it too far. And I remember sitting in there being like suddenly just like aware of like the grain of the just everything felt suddenly false to me and artificial.
Okay. It was too many movies.
It was too many movies in a row. And like the sort of like the suspension of disbelief that allows you to take all of those disparate images and see them as one moving image, it was tired.
I don't even think I could do three movies on a flight. That's a lot.
Did any of your movie theaters ever like fuck up? Like you're watching a movie and because this has like never happened to me in LA, but growing up, it would like, it would just like the projector would go down.
Yeah.
It happened to me. Like five or six times.
Wow.
Like, where you just have to, I think it was just a shitty movie theater. It did end up going out of business at a certain point.
I can remember twice. I wish I could remember what movie it was. It feels like it was like one of the early James Bond movies.
I remember specifically because just speaking of Emily sneaking into these movies, I remember being like 13 years old. Me and my friend went to go, bought tickets for Shanghai Noon, and then left and went to see Road Trip. And as soon as we start watching Road Trip, the movie like fucks up and the lights go up. We're like, we're fucking caught. He fucking got us.
Yeah, that was God. God knew
that
you were doing something wrong.
Did you think they stopped it because you were in there?
Yes, yeah, I sure did.
They were like, they know 13-year-olds
I was so fucking panicked. But then it was just that the movie theater sucked. So it was like a really bad day where like I saw, you know, 60% of Shanghai Noon, like 30% of Road Trip.
So you don't know how it ends?
I don't know how. I know how Shanghai Noon ends, and of course,
and you know how,
but I don't know
and
how,
you know
the
how Road Trip begins.
And I know how Road Trip begins. No, of course, I saw that shit on DVD later.
Oh yeah,
but of course.
Yeah, it was a big part of college for me.
Murph was always inviting people over to watch Road Trip in his dorm. That was his move.
Road Trip was way before dorm times, I think. I think Road Trip was like high
school.
But
DVDs were dorm times.
I'm thinking of Euro Trip, actually.
Oh, Euro Trip? I think I was a little too old for Euro Trip.
Yeah, I think so.
When was Euro Trip? Wait, when did things come out? Euro Trip.
When did things come out? Euro Trip.
Euro Trip.
I'm going to say
2003.
I was going to say 2003 also. I'll say 2004.
I'm going to say 2005.
All right. I'm going to go later then. I think 2007.
Whoa. Euro Trip. Wait, you're doing Euro Trip or Road Trip?
Euro Trip.
I think it's later. Fuck.
Oh, it's 2004. Who said 2004?
Yeah!
Wow. Good job.
It's beautiful because usually I don't play.
Poetic.
Emily, there must have been a preview for Euro Trip when you were doing your triple feature.
I mean, I didn't really get into movies until later in life. I feel like it was like after I graduated college and went to New York, and it was just a fun way to pass time.
Crew seen Euro Trip?
No.
Because for me, it was like kind of a high school age movie. I think the characters are in high school or maybe they're a little older. So I think I had just gotten to college. And so for me, it was a little young. If that makes sense.
I did see Euro Trip.
Did you like it?
Thoughts, Jake?
Do you recommend it?
You can't recommend anything.
I don't think it was good.
This is also the movie that Scotty Doesn't Know comes from.
Sure.
The hit track, Scotty Doesn't Know.
I know that tune, yeah. And it's Matt Damon's wearing like a pretty wicked costume in the movie, right?
Yeah, they got Matt Damon for it.
Is he like a cool punker?
That's pretty cool.
Is he like a punk rocker in it?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's the singer.
Check out our podcast, Guessing What Euro Trip's About.
I saw it.
Yeah, anyway. Jake Sahn kind of doesn't know. Scott doesn't know. Jakey doesn't know.
No, I know. I know what he. I know he was a punk rocker.
I am trying to think about what the most insane triple feature would be. Because do you remember what the other two movies you were seeing that day were?
No,
Emily?
As I said it, I was trying to recall. Well, I just remember it was not that the it was not
what
that
your
the,
Fantastic Mr. Fox came out and tried to go backwards engineer Emily's.
Okay, but I have to say it was not that the other movies. I want to actually say one of them was. Was there an Alice in Wonderland that Tim Burton did?
Yes,
there certainly was.
There's two, I believe. So you could have been seeing the sequel.
One of them could have been that. But it also, my not enjoying Fantastic Mr. Fox was not because the other two movies were better. It was just that it was the third movie.
So if it was better than Fantastic Mr. Fox, maybe you're thinking of The Road starring Viggo Mortensen.
Whoa.
I don't think it was. I don't think I've seen that.
Okay.
It could have been Alice Through the Looking Glass, yes, which came out in 2016.
No, 2016.
No, it wasn't 2016. Yeah. It wasn't 2016.
Did you see Sherlock Holmes? Maybe Angels and Demons? Perhaps The Hangover?
Shit. Emily, this is... What a great time to be at the cinema.
This is terrible conversation. Let's go back to the episode.
All right, fine. But the only point I wanted to make about Fantastic Mr. Fox, though, was that there's a moment in that when they drive past a wolf while they're riding a motorcycle, which, you know, relating it back to the episode.
Sure.
Thank you.
And the wolf is like standing proudly on a rock and it just like raises its hand in solidarity at Mr. Fox. And it's this like really powerful moment. And I feel like that's what you're experiencing when the wolf winks at you in the woods. Ooh, is like that moment where like you and the wolf are kindred.
Okay.
And then you do give the wolf your nest passcode to your
door. So you very lightly brought it back to the episode and mostly we brought it back to the wolf.
Mostly brought it back to
window.
A hypothetical about wolves outside of your house.
But anyway, motorcycles were mentioned and we used motorcycles. So we're back. We're so
back. I
think
we are back.
We're so back.
Too true. Mm-hmm. You guys want to do some Roses and Thorns?
I mean, huge bud, I guess, for everything that's going on in Hammer and Circuits. Which, is there a specific name for this part of the town, or is it just like Hammer and Circuits territory?
Zone 5.
Zone 5.
Zone 5.
You guys are working your way. You started in Zone 6. You got to get home to Zone 1.
A big rose for us learning that Elmer was murdered for, you know, trying to buy an airship.
Oh my God. Yeah. We didn't talk about that yet.
Yeah.
That was devastating.
Oh yeah.
I think it's really interesting, like juxtaposing that, like him basically being like, we got to get out of this town. This is our ticket out. And then you put that next to us not flushing his piss down the toilet. It's like,
yeah,
it's we are so stagnant compared to like what he had actually wanted for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I see him as having been, because your characters are probably like late 20s, like early 30s.
Yeah.
And he, as a halfling, I mean, probably like 70s or maybe even like in his early hundreds. But like, you know, built probably like a 60-year-old like man or something like that. So not like terribly, terribly old or anything like that. But like probably has been around and seen some stuff, whereas you guys were just like born and raised in Neogaladron.
Yeah, I am thinking about that timeline now because he would have seen like, you know, like the city kind of come up from like the ashes a little bit. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm so excited to learn more about Sir Elmer, like what his whole deal is.
Does it change anything for you guys, like, you know, knowing that he wanted us to get out of Esri? I know all of our characters are, I feel like our trajectory has so far been like, we want to do all this for the arcade and invest in the youth team and all that stuff.
I thought it was really interesting because I think that that is like, it feels like an older narrative to be like, I just want to get out of the city.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
like the modern narrative that we live amongst is like, I want to get into the city. I want to leave the backwoods to get into the city. And I was like, oh, right. That was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like cities would suck and people would want to get out of
them. That's really interesting.
Yeah. But it's true. It's like, it's our home. It's the only place we've known. And like, we've like made it our home. And like increasingly, it's also the fact that like our home is under this new threat. I feel like doubles down on the fact that it's our home.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It certainly like adds a layer of conflict that I wasn't expecting. Adam is like never even considered like being anywhere else. It's kind of like he's built for this place.
Yeah. I guess like learning that your mentor like had a wish. I think there's like a part of me that is like, I want to like fulfill his unfinished business. But I also, I have always thought of like Ox being like a city fox. Like he wouldn't necessarily believe.
I think I've identified potentially the two movies it could have been.
Okay.
Good. It could have been.
Can we do one more guess?
Can all do one more guess.
Okay. Did someone guess Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, but it's not it.
Was it Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel?
No.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Did that? No.
I'll guess 2012. which came out in 2009.
It was not 2012.
Star Trek?
No.
What was it?
All right, now she
can tell us. I think it was the movie Precious and movie Bad Lieutenant Port Orleans.
Wow.
Okay.
That's an interesting triple lineup. That runs the gamut.
Triple header.
Finishing it up with Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Because I was
really
like
funny.
Looking through what came out the same month, and I was thinking, and I know that I saw both of those in theater. There was a chance that it was at like an artsy theater, and one of those was like a matinee of a movie that was like old. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely one of those, and it's also or if not both of them.
The thing about Fantastic Mr. Fox is like everyone in that movie is moving in like an insane way. It's just like, because it's stop motion, so like everything's kind of jittery, but then also the characters are animals, so they're constantly just like burrowing underground and like eating things very quickly. If you had seen two other movies before that, you would absolutely feel untethered.
I
from
really
reality.
Felt crazy. Yeah.
Insane.
I think if you see Bad Lieutenant Port of New Orleans, that's kind of throw you off. I think no matter what you see after that.
That's a Werner Herzog movie. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I will say, Emily came home the other day from the library with a DVD of Bangkok Dangerous.
I don't know why. I think that I saw something about the original Bangkok Dangerous, but the library didn't have the original foreign film and only has the remake that the people who made Bangkok Dangerous made with Nicolas Cage.
And it's just one of the Nicolas Cage movies where he has long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be put in like a jigsaw puzzle, a jigsaw, like the character from Saw, not like an actual puzzle.
Yeah.
I want to be put in a trap where you're just forcing me to watch weird movies. Cause like it's just all over the map and I never know what I'm going to expect, but I will be delighted.
I don't know either, because when you put stuff on hold at the library, you forget why you put it on hold. So I picked it up and I was like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Who was I when I called
it's
you?
It's like a conversation with my past self.
I think you were just mystery. Like, I'm the type of person that rents 300. What else would I like?
That is, yeah.
Maybe the librarian tucked it in with my holds as a recommendation.
Yeah, you have an algorithm at the library where they just think you're a fucking douchebag.
I'm not a douchebag. I just love wasteful budgets.
Yeah.
I love garish early 2000s films. Who doesn't? Big bud, I guess, for probably seeing Young Blunder again. We met him briefly, we didn't meet him, but like we saw him at the party.
I think that was I'm glad that we actually like didn't get into it with him at the party, because I am excited to just see him in his own turf and see who he really is.
Yeah.
Also, he's got the exposed brain, right?
Yes.
That's really horrifying.
Just like a clear helm that shows his brain, just like firing synapses and stuff.
Is it like frosted purple, like a Game Boy Color?
Maybe frosted blue, like a Game Boy Color.
Like a Game Boy Color.
All right.
You've really captured like cyberpunk in this for me, but in a way that still has some whimsy to it.
Oh, thanks.
Personally, I've enjoyed that. Because sometimes cyberpunk can feel very, sometimes it can feel very cynical.
Maybe
cynical isn't the word, but sometimes it can feel kind of drab to me. And this I have felt like it's been very, had some whimsy in there.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Porting it into Bohemia has like, I don't know, it's fused it with that sort of like fantasy whimsy and kept it from feeling, too dystopian, which is nice. Despite being fully dystopian.
Yeah. It's definitely bad times. Yeah, you guys were, it was fun hearing your guys' reactions and stuff as you guys were like sneaking through the streets and there were like goons like waiting around trying to steal people's augments. You guys were like, this is so disrespectful. You're like the old dudes now.
Yeah.
That's who we were raised by.
And
we
were like, not even the old dudes. We're probably a similar age to Young Blunder, but we just so thoroughly absorbed our dudes' worldview.
Yeah.
It's like a kid raised by grandparents.
Yeah, totally. Grandpa kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody knows one.
They dress well. Sort of a young Sheldon vibe.
Absolutely. A little bow tie.
Yeah. Oxwell is going to start saying bazinga.
That's really good.
Really?
That's really good. I don't know that he says, I think he learns that as old Sheldon.
Oh, really? Does young Sheldon not say bazinga?
No, I know the answer to this, Jake.
That's probably going to happen. Wait, can I guess? Yes. You're going to see the Inception moment.
Oh. Exactly. That is exactly what
happens. That's what the whole series is building
up
to.
What the fuck is the Inception moment of Bazinga?
I think he sees like a comic book or like a sign in like a store that says Bazinga. And they literally show like his face lighting up. He steals it. Yeah.
It's not even an original
kind of like
Sheldon.
All creative expression.
And that is the moment he goes from being young Sheldon to regular Sheldon. As he loses that innocence, he steals, he commits his first sin, and thus transgresses from childhood into the corrupt life of an adult. And he instantly ages into the adult actor. It's crazy.
Wild.
It's beautiful.
He just sees Bazinga. That's awesome.
Is young Sheldon still on?
No. There's a great question. There's his like brother is like married. Some show called like Somebody and Somebody's First Marriage or something like that.
Oh, right. Yes. Because like,
Young Sheldon 2 is out.
It went on for 7 years. That's so long. I would have not thought that. Damn. That's crazy.
Good on
good
him.
For him.
Good for him.
Way to
go,
Young Sheldon.
Good for all of us.
So, Murph, what are you looking forward to with the campaign?
So, I'm excited about... I like this aspect of you guys having to deal with the different gangs and everything. This is where, like, the sort of warriors-ness of it all starts coming out to play, as it were. I'm excited for you guys having to fight some of these dudes. I'm excited for you guys to have to, like, politic your way through some of these areas.
Yeah.
But in the immediate, you guys are in... Old Drill's house. You guys have just gotten alerts. Like your pictures have like shown up on the news. Essentially,
I love whenever that moment happens in tabletop stuff when it's like you're wanted.
Yeah,
it's like puts
you're
such
renowned.
A fire under your ass.
It's true.
It makes it all feel so real.
Yeah.
So you guys have like some kind of morally dubious dudes that have cool magnetic hammers hanging right outside your door as you see that you're wanted. So I'm excited to see how that all plays out.
They're going to freaking deliver us. Bazinga.
Bazinga, indeed.
Next episode starts with Oxford. Bazinga, guys. They're coming in.
No, you motherfuckers would. And it would just,
It's like now that we've said it, I'm like, oh, fuck. It's going to occur to one of us.
Well, yeah.
It's also just straight up only funny in like a... brain rot ironic way where you're saying
because then it would be like it popped into our heads because we had this conversation.
Yeah, we have to wait and see how it comes out in the episode.
And so it's a shared memory.
But
and
also
here's what
it might come out really authentic.
Yeah, Murph. It shouldn't. And it shouldn't.
There's precedent for it because we made this joke about the bees in the Feywild, if I recall, because there was a bunch of bees hanging out with the honey goblins and they said Bazinga.
Whoa.
So like within
they did.
Can we check the tape? Did they say Bazinga or did you guys make it so they say Bazinga?
Is that where Sheldon got it?
Whoa!
Well, because it's true that this was, I don't know how the timeline works out as far as like the multiverse goes, but I'm pretty sure that this all predates Young Sheldon.
Yeah. Well, I think Young Sheldon actually premiered in 2017, which is a year before NADPOD.
Fuck.
I don't know who got there.
Okay,
first.
Take down all the Feywild episodes.
Fuck.
Take them all down.
Yeah, that was all Young Sheldon inspired, to say the least.
Listening, it's like a Ouroboros. Like they show Young Sheldon listening to a podcast for the first time, and he listens to the Honey Goblin episode, and he hears Bazinga from that. Mm. So like it is we have like incepted ourselves. We are our own grandpa. Is the situation here?
That's awesome.
Really cool.
It's really fun.
That's
for us.
Really sick. Anyway, shouldn't come up in the show.
We're gonna flush ourselves down the toilet. Yeah. That's how we get out.
With that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll be back next week. We're back to Dungeon Court and then back to the campaign.
Done. Get it in early.
In the meantime, Caldo, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everybody get ready to roll those wolf wink dice.
Rolling
with the wolf wink dice.
I thought you said wolf wank dice and I was like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Also works.
I mean, there's probably one doing that.